3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, therefore whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
ヨハネによる福音書3章16節、神は実にその一人子をお与えになったほどによう愛された。それは御子を信じる者が一人として滅びることなく永遠の命を持つためである。
Morning. I kind of went into a little panic yesterday because of daylight saving times. I'm like, what time is it? You know, my computer automatically went back an hour. But we changed it to Arizona time.Let me pray for this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We just want to worship you, Lord. We thank you for this day that we could come together as a community here and worship you. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. We ask that you would come and fill this place and fill our hearts. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's message comes from John 3:16.Again, as Min mentioned, one of the most well-known verses in Scripture. If you go to practically any event, there will be somebody that might be holding up a sign that says John 3:16. So I want to take a moment and just look at that passage today. Let me read it again. John 3:16. For God so loved the world.For God so loved the world. It's interesting that he says the world, right? Instead of, since God so loved, he could have used the word humanity. For God so loved people. But instead it says, for God so loved the world. And so there is a love that God has. Obviously people are the most important in God's sight.But there is a love for the world as well. A love for creation. Now, I don't know if your pets are going to go to heaven. Don't ask me if your dog is going to heaven or your cat's going to heaven. That does include the world. There are creatures in heaven, that much I know. If you look at Revelation chapter 21...I've mentioned this before, but when John has a vision, in 21 he says, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Chapter 22, Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb of God down the middle of the great street of the city.So this is a world in which there are creation that's a part of it. But what I'm trying to say is, in heaven, it's not just everything God created. But humanity has a part in it as well. Because it was humans that came up with roads, it was humans that came up with cities. And God made the trees, the mountains, the streams,The ocean, he made the animals, but it was at the descendants of Adam and Eve who came up with cities and streets. And it says in the new heaven that that will be a part of it. And God so loved the world. And today, what I really want to talk about today is the second part of this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son.And many of us, we know that there is a correlation, right, between giving and loving. Amen? Yeah. For those of you who have kids, know this very well. Especially this time of year, it's almost Christmas. And I remember whenever I got a gift, I have two older brothers, whenever I got a gift, I would compare it with my brother's gifts, right? And my parents knew this very well, so a lot of times they gave us the same thing. Like if I got Nikes, my brother got the same Nikes. If I got a sweater, my brother would get the same sweater. Because what happens if they get something better? I'd start crying. Why would I start crying? I wouldn't know why I would start crying. But somewhere deep inside of me, I would feel like they loved me less. Yeah, you know? And if for one reason they did give me something different for Christmas, and I start complaining, my mom would say, Nedanga onaji. Right? Translation, the price is the same. You know, she paid the same amount as this as they did for that. And that would comfort me a little. Okay. You know, in my mind, I it's not like I processed all this, but somewhere deep inside it was like, okay, they love me the same. And so if you have kids, you can't give 120 and 150. You have to give them both the same amount. But it says here, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. His only son meant the world to God. And he gave that to us. I'm not going to get into too much about inviting and sacrificing, but obviously there's a correlation between how much you sacrifice in giving and how much the sincerity it is in that gift. But throughout the Bible, it talks about giving. And I believe it talks about giving because of the nature of giving as loving. When God gave his son, Jesus, who is the exact representation of the Father, he not only gave his life for us, which he did, right? I mean, that's the most important part of Jesus' life, is he gave his life for us. But prior to that, his life was full of giving. Because he is love. And the nature of love is giving. Amen. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hope to the hopeless. He gave bread to the hungry. He gave life to the dead. And he continues to give. He didn't just say, I love you. But he showed it in giving. You know, and my wife always keeps me accountable with this. You know, I can't get away with just saying I love you to her. She doesn't say prove it, but you know. But she, you know, I have to give. I have to give her my time. I have to give her my money. I have to give her my attention. I have to give her my, I have to give her, and it's a sign that I love her. If I stop giving those things to her, I can say I love you all I want. She'll know that I don't love her. Now, I'm sharing this with you today that God gave us his son. And it's important for us as believers that we do the same. Not give your son, but that we as people, community of God, learn to give as he gave. Learn to live and love through giving. Now that's not the only aspect of love, but today I want to spend some time and talk about this giving as loving. Again, three parts. Our time, our talent, and our treasure. If we learn to give those three things well, I believe we are loving well. Our time, our talent, and our treasure. Now, the first one, our time, obviously in Hebrews 10, 25-35, it says, do not stop meeting together, as some are in the custom of doing. You know, as a minister, and let me tell you a secret. If, If you want me to really appreciate you, just show up. Just show up. That's like 80%. I mean, you could show up and not do anything. And I am very thankful for that. Because I know that there are a lot of competing, there's a lot of things that compete for your time. Wayne, I know that you'd rather be watching football some days, right?
Yeah.
Right? I understand that. Because some days I'd rather be watching basketball. No, but, and you have a lot of options. Some days you'd rather sleep than show up. Some days you have an event to go to. I understand. And it is a sacrifice at times to be here. And it could be as important as if we had a world-class athlete, it could be as important as winning a national championship. There are a lot of athletes who, rather than becoming the athlete, they said, well, I can't, I have to go to church Sundays, and they sacrifice that. Giving of your time is so important to God. It is. And a lot of people will say time is more important than money. A lot of older people would say that. You know, and when you're younger, you have as much time as you want, right? I remember being bored out of my mind when I was young. When you get older, though, you begin to appreciate time more than you were when you're younger, because you don't have as much time anymore. And so time is so valuable. And God knows that. And it's so important that when we give of our time, that God sees that. In fact, here's a story where God blesses those that gave up of their time in Acts 1:15. If you have your Bibles, turn them there with me real quick. Now this is prior to Pentecost, and most of you know Pentecost was the day that most people would say the church was born, because the Holy Spirit came upon the believers with such power on that day. But prior to that, look what it says. Acts 1:15. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas." And what I want you to get there, though, is that number. How many? 120. So there was about 120 faithful members that would come together, and Peter would lead them, and they'd probably pray a lot, right? You could probably see that. You could picture that. But guess what? If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15... First Corinthians 15:6. Now this is Jesus resurrected, and it says this. He appears to Peter, and it says, after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. 500. Now, if some have fallen asleep, let's be generous and say 400 that Jesus appeared to. How many people did we see in Acts coming together and praying with Paul, with Peter? It says 120. Now, we know if it's just some, that more than half of them didn't die. But more than half of them didn't give their time to the Lord. And what happens in chapter 2? They miss out on one of the greatest moves of God in history. The birth of the church. You know, they might have came one night and prayed, I said, oh, this is nice. The second night, prayed, oh yeah, this is good. The third night, I'm going to watch some basketball. I'm going to watch the Cowboys game, right? Oh man, I hope that was a really good game. Because they missed one of the most significant time, not just in church, in history. Because they did not give their time. Amen. It's so important that we learn to give to the Lord as a sign of love and give of our time. I want to turn now to giving of our talents. And when I say talent, I mean our giftings. And prior to me talking about love, we spoke a lot about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's so important that we operate in the Holy Spirit. You know, when we come together here, obviously, I give a sermon. That's expected of me. What's not expected, and what I would like to see as an expectation, is that when we come together, that we all have something to give. Right now, I appreciate you showing up. I do. That's 80% of ministry, just people showing up. But the expectation, though, right now, is that you show up, and we show up, we sing songs, I come up and sing, do a sermon. And that's the expectation, right? In the first church, that was not the expectation. It wasn't about just a couple songs and a sermon and fellowship and go home. That's great. It is. But I believe that's a starting point. The first step is the most important step, amen? And so this is a good step. But if that's all we expect when we come together, I believe we're missing so much more that is available to us. 1 Corinthians 14:31 says this. Paul teaching on the prophetic ministry. Let me go up to 29. It says, two or three prophets should speak, and the other should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. You may all prophesy in turn. Why? So that we can all be instructed, we can all be encouraged. There is a gift in the ministry of the Holy Spirit that doesn't come just through me, but it comes through each and every one of us. That we may all have something for edification, for instruction. When we think of giving, we automatically think of giving money or maybe even giving time. But it's so important that we give even verbal affirmation. Amen? Amen. My wife gets on me that all the time. So I told her this morning, honey, you look beautiful. Didn't I? I did, right? Amen? Yeah, see? The scripture says, life and death is in the tongue. Amen. Words are so powerful.
Yes. Yes.
And if we as believers who know that life and death is in the tongue, we don't speak life, what's happening? Men, you look amazing today. Evelyn, you look phenomenal today. I'm so glad you guys are here. Amen.
Amen.
Giving of just simple compliment, and you know, maybe there is no compliment to be given. Make something up. I'm serious. You know, in the prophetic, They talked about foretelling and forthtelling, you know. And you know, forthtelling is speaking something into existence. And that is divine, right? That's what the Father did. In the beginning, there was no light. And he didn't say, man, this place is so dark. I hate this place, it's so dark. Instead, he said, let there be light. What happened after he said that? It became light.
Amen.
You know, even if there isn't something there yet, let me just speak it into existence.
Amen. Yes.
He did a great sermon. Forthtelling. Right? I'll be like, oh yeah. And then God will make it into being. He told Peter, you're a rock. Peter was in a rock. He knew he was in a rock. People around him knew he was in a rock. But you know what? When Jesus spoke it, it planted a seed. And he did become a rock. Giving of our talent. When we come together, that is the power that is available to us. That we could foretell. That we could speak life into people. Not just me, but you. You could do that too. And we need you to do that. That should be the expectation. That when we all come together, we have something to give. And it's not just money. We have something to give that is more valuable. We have gifts to give. We have time to give. Let me just share one more passage, a more familiar passage. Ephesians 5:19, it says, let me read it. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. To the Lord and to one another. Speak to one another. Sing to one another. That's the expectation of the early church. And I believe if we capture that and we start moving in that direction, as the Lord has gifted us and anointed us with His Spirit, there will be transformation. And finally, treasure. God asks for our time, He asks for our talent, and He does ask for our treasure. Malachi 3:16. Great promise in the Bible. One of the, I believe, the only place where the Lord asks us to test Him. Sorry. It's Malachi 3:6, right? What's that?
Verse 10,
sorry. I did not write that right. Okay, Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruits before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. The Lord talks about provision and protection when we do give of our time, our treasures. And then the leadership here, we've been studying about giving. And this is a whole sermon in itself in giving. But give what you can. Let's start from there. Give what you can, not what you can't. Start with a little. then you work your way up. The Lord has says, test me in this. You know, I'm not ever gonna come up here and say, give everything. Okay? If I ever do that, fire me. Give everything and make it out to Akihisa Kawamata. I won't say that. Give what you can though. I will say that. Test the Lord in this. See if He's not faithful in providing. It's interesting. You know, we've heard about the rich young ruler, right? We know that story. Matthew 19. He goes to God, or he goes to Jesus, and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus simply says, well, what does it say in the Bible? And he begins to list a number of very good commandments. You know, honor your parents, don't steal, don't murder. And he lists all these things. Love your neighbors. It's interesting what he didn't list. Do you guys know that story? Do you know what he doesn't list? He doesn't list, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. He doesn't list that. It's interesting, right? Jesus doesn't say, you missed one commandment though. You know what Jesus says? He says, give everything you own, sell it, and give it to the poor. Instead of saying, he could have said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. But instead he says, sell everything, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the story ends. The rich man goes away sad. Now I'm not saying, again, sell everything you own, give it to the poor, and follow me. Give what you can though. Because there is a correlation in that story of loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and giving to the poor, or giving of your resources. There is a correlation there. And I'm telling you here, in Malachi, the Lord says, test me in this. See if your storehouse will not just be full, but overflow. See if people won't say, how did you get so blessed? My wife and I, we are being tested in this area. And you know what? We're still giving. And we're going to continue to give. And we're going to continue to believe in the Word of God. Again, 1 Corinthians 16:2, and this is the last Bible verse I'll share with you. But Paul, giving instructions to the Corinthian church, says, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. So this is not just the Corinthian church. He says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come to collect, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. So he's just practically saying, save up what you can from how much you make. And give it. I've told the Galatians church to do this, and I'm telling you to do this. And so I come here and tell you, and tell us to do the same thing. Give of our time, our talent, and our treasure. For God so loved the world that He gave. And that is something that is continuing to happen. He not just gave His Son. He gave us an invitation be like Him. And if we could do these three things well, I believe that is evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. Amen? Mm-hmm. Father, I just come before You and ask that You would teach us, Lord, how to steward all that You have given us wisely. Father, You gave everything for us. You gave Your one and only Son, that through Him we may know You, Lord. And it is because of your great love that you gave. And Father, I pray that you would fill each and every one of us with your great love, so that we too would give. Even now, Lord Jesus, as we end service, that we would give words of affirmation, that the short time that we have left together, Lord, we've given of our time, we've given of our money, and Father, I pray that we would give of ourselves, Lord. I thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.